You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hope, with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I'll rise. These words of Maya Angelou carry great strength and an air of undefeatable resolve, stating to all the world that no matter what is thrown at this individual, that they, in one way or another, will in the end rise. Even in the face of certain death, still, they will rise. Perhaps it is meant to be metaphorical, such as how one can rise above a situation, or how even in death, a person's work or beliefs can carry on through others, even in the face of stern opposition. As metaphor, or in a more literal sense, the words of Ms. Angelou portray an excellent picture of our Savior. Cut down, murdered, and yet the hate could not keep him down. And today, we celebrate his ascent. As we gather here on the Feast of the Ascension, we take time to mark our Lord's ascent into the heavens and being seated at the right hand of the Father. This festival of the Church finds us reflecting on how God has entrusted us to be the body of Christ here on earth as God's most holy Church. It's also the feast that most clearly fulfills the words of the prophet Isaiah, that heaven is indeed God's throne and the earth is his footstool. That in his literal ascent, Jesus is seen both physically and theologically as the one who put all things under his feet. This is a time for us to remember and to celebrate that Christ has become head over all things, and that we are his body. It is, as Luther proposed in his Freedom of the Christian, that we are the bride of Christ, obtaining all that is his and he all that is ours, so that we might, as the Church, live as his body, commissioned to continue his work of feeding the sheep, seeking the lost, and proclaiming the good news to the oppressed. With this wedding band of faith, we find ourselves no longer imprisoned by sin or death, since Christ has conquered all things for us, including our once greatest foes, our fallen nature, and that of the grave. This union with Christ points to God's desire for intimacy with creation, as well as God's awareness of the possible pitfalls of the incarnation. The very idea of the departure of Jesus is one that most certainly would bring about consternation and cause concern for the likes of the apostles. How would they respond to the tangible loss of their shepherd, of their teacher and friend? Would they find themselves being torn at the seams with the inescapable division and infighting that seems to haunt humanity wherever it finds itself? So in response to this, God goes about ensuring that humanity will never fall away again, by incorporating God's beloved children into God's own self through Christ as Christ's body, with Christ as our head, as the very source of all that is done in his name and for the sake of the world. Christ Jesus, in this most unique of relationships, entrusts and empowers the Church to live out a calling that bears witness to him to the very ends of the earth. A calling that in our reading from Acts, the two angels robed in white so kindly remind us of the work that lies ahead. In his letter to the church at Ephesus, Paul highlights the idea that the physical departure of Jesus in no way signals his desertion, but actually points to a deeper unification with the disciples, and for that matter, all of us. We get a glimpse of the power of this union in Christ displayed in the joyful post-ascension return to Jerusalem by the disciples. They are not dismayed or disheveled that he has ascended. They are joyful that he has solidified this amazing new creation that finds them forever linked with him as his tangible body here on earth. It is this understanding of power, God's power to be exact, at work in Christ that seems integral to the ascension. In a way, it highlights that God's great power is not just found simply ruling over the heavens, but it is also very active in this world. This power of God is referred to in all three of our readings, stressing the significance of Jesus' departure, along with the eventual gifting of the Spirit, so that repentance and the forgiveness of sins is and will be proclaimed throughout the world. A power that St. Paul tells us was put to work in Christ when God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. A physical move that emulates the reality that Christ is indeed above all rule, all authority, power, and dominion. That the ascension is nothing short of a coronation, fully recognizing what was pronounced from the cross and signed, sealed, and delivered by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus is the one true Lord over all. He who reigns in heaven as the ruler whose dominion encompasses all of the cosmos and all of creation, as well as existing on earth as the church, his bride, who throughout and through the Spirit continues the proclamation of the gospel and the work of healing and reconciliation in his most holy of names. This is what we gather for and celebrate this day, to honor his divine rule and to be reminded and encouraged in the work that we do as his most holy church, as his beloved bride. Amen.